verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching of your word, dear God, this morning. And Lord, thank you for the cantata, Lord. Thank you for the fact that it's lifted our hearts upward, dear God. It's focused us on Jesus. And Lord, I want to continue in that, dear God. Thank you for the Bible, a book about our Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be stirred, dear God, as we think about what happened many years ago as we read this story. Back in Luke chapter 1, Lord, take our hearts there. Bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, baby names. Baby names. Back in 1915, I got a list in front of me of the most popular boy names. Top 10, 1915. All right, you can ask Brother Townsley about this. He'd remember it. Some of the other men in our church. 1915. Top 10 boys' names. John, listen for your name. You might have been popular back in 1915. John, William, James, Robert, Joseph, George, Charles, Edward, Frank, or Thomas. Top 10 girls' names, 1915. Mary, Helen, Dorothy, Margaret, Ruth, Mildred, Anna, Elizabeth. I'm trying to be careful. I don't know who's here. Amen. Francis, Virginia. All right. How about let's fast forward 50 years. 1955. We have guys. James, Michael, Robert, John, David, William, Richard, Thomas, Mark, Charles. Not a whole lot of change. Ladies' names, girls' names. Mary, number one again. How about that? Linda, Patricia, Susan, Deborah, Barbara, Deborah, Karen, Nancy, and Donna. You made the top 10 back in 1955. There you go. All right. How about 2015? Guys' names. Not too bad. Number one, Noah. 1915. By the way, this is Social Security. The Social Security office where you got to register them. So this is supposed to be it. Noah. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I don't want to. I know it's Irish. L-I-A-M. Do you, Liam. Liam. Mason. You know, like the jar. Mason. Jacob. William. Ethan. James, by the way, made all three lists. Alexander, Michael, and Benjamin. Girls, Emma, any Emmas? Olivia, Sophia, Ava, Isabella, Mia, M-I-A, right? Mia, Maya. Nehemiah, Abigail made it, Emily, Charlotte, and Harper? Harper's number 10, 2015. Harper, a girl's name, Harper. Any Harpers? If there is, then let me say this. It's a great name. It's a great name. You know, I was studying this thing out, and we're talking about baby names. You know, in the Bible, there was a handful of parents that didn't get to choose the name of their child. Guess who chose it for them? God chose it. It didn't happen a lot, but there's a few times in the Bible. Back in Genesis 17, 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, David's talking to Solomon, and he says this, my son is for me. It was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. And so God came down and told David what he was to name his son Solomon. Twice, or in Genesis chapter 16, verse 11, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael. So God named Ishmael. In Hosea, we've just studied Hosea. Remember the study of the prophet Hosea and his wife Gomer, that unusual situation? You know, God named both of their sons Jezreel and Lo Ammi. By the way, Lo Ammi, God said, name your second child Lo Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. And Lo Ammi means not my people. Boy, that'd be sad, wouldn't it, to have that name? Of course, in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, we read the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and the story of the birth of John the Baptist. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You remember that Zacharias was struck deaf, and you know what? When he was born, they tried to name him after his father. And you know what he said? He spoke for the first time in over 9 months, he spoke and said, his name shall be John, because God said, call him John. So isn't that interesting? We can talk about baby names, and I was also kind of looking at the other ideas as far as where people got names for their children in the Bible. And most of the time when somebody's born in the Bible, it says that she, speaking of the mother, or he, speaking of the father, or sometimes they called his name. And you know what? In most instances, the parents named the child. A lot of times it was a significant, and the name was and the related somehow to the events of the birth or something that was going on at that time in their lives. But there has never been so much divine attention given to a name for a baby as was given to this babe in the manger in Bethlehem. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. There's a lot of names that is connected with this child. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us is born a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. How about this list? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we're not talking about a baby that just was given one name. He's given multiple names. Let's go through this list. Isn't it appropriate that the first name that's ever referred to Jesus Christ, the first thing he was commanded to be called way before anybody else prophesied anything, Isaiah gave the first name, and here it is. Wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. And you know what? Can I say this publicly? Jesus is wonderful. I mean, folks, he's wonderful in the fact that he loved us. He's wonderful in the fact that he saved us. And by the way, the more that you get to know him and walk with him in your Christian life, the more that you'll find out how wonderful he is. Counselor, let me remind all of us here today that Jesus Christ is the best counselor you can ever go to. And you know what? I understand what the Bible teaches in Proverbs and the importance of a multitude of counselors and seeking out wise, human, godly, scriptural counsel. But can I say this? Don't ever substitute God for a man. And you know what? Perhaps before you go see anybody, you ought to find that quiet place and get alone on your knees and speak to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek his counsel, because his counsel should supersede all counsel. He is the counselor, and he is also the mighty God. By the way, this speaks to the deity of Jesus Christ. From time to time, I have a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon knock on my door. And you know what? I don't spend a lot of time talking with them, but I will tell you this. I love to show up to the door with the book Bible open to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, because they're going to stand at the door and try to tell me that Jesus is not God. But I have a verse that tells me that when he's born, you call him this, the mighty God. And if God said to call Jesus the mighty God, let me assure you, Jesus is not just the Son of God, he's God the Son. We're talking about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the reinforcement of the great doctrine of the Trinity, the everlasting Father. Think about that. They were the name of the everlasting Father was also assigned to the Son. Say, preacher, I'm not sure I understand that. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll go on record to say that I don't think I've ever, nor has any man ever fully comprehended the doctrine of the Trinity. All I know is this, that there is one God. The Bible says there's one God. But I know also that he chooses to reveal himself in three distinct personalities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you know what? Jesus even said this, I and my Father are one. So it's appropriate and right that he be called the everlasting Father. And how about this, the Prince of Peace? Now, folks, let me tell you what I'm afraid is happening, and I'm not going to get into politics this morning. I mean, what a way to run Christmas to start talking about politics. But I'm afraid that sometimes Christian people, and maybe Independent Fundamental Baptist, has breathed a little bit of a sigh of relief because of some of the political shifts that have happened, some of the decisions that were made. And I do think God has given us a bit of a space of grace. But let me say this, there's nobody that's ever going to walk into the White House and bring peace. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they say peace, peace, but there is no peace. And when they're saying that, you better look to the eastern sky, because Jesus is coming. And I don't think it's time to relax anything. I think it's time to be busy for the Lord, because I believe that Jesus is at the door and he's coming soon. Jesus, when he comes, will be the Prince of Peace. Now, you think about this name, and we're just going to talk. That's what we're talking about this morning. For a little bit of time, we're talking about that name of Jesus. It was called Wonderful. He was called Counselor. He was called the Mighty God. He was called the Everlasting Father. He was called the Prince of Peace. We read here in our text that I had you turn to that an angel was enlisted to instruct both Mary and then later on also Joseph as to what this miracle baby was to be named. We read starting in verse number 26 that Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, was sent from God. And this conversation that was had between this angel and Mary. And in verse number 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. By the way, notice this, and shalt call his name Jesus. Mary, there's no need to get online and try to find the most popular names, all right? Because the name's already been decided. Okay, no use having a little family gathering or a husband-wife conversation. What are we going to name the baby? God sent Gabriel down with the name. Thou shalt, it's a command, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know why? Because God the Father says, if I'm going to send my son to be born on earth, I want to make sure that they understand that he is the Savior. Because Jesus means Savior. That's what it means. And he wanted everybody to know that he's been sent for a reason. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was his name. And that was assigned by the angel. But can I say this? Isn't it interesting that three different times, again, one name can't hold it all. He's Wonderful. He's Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace. He's Jesus. And in verse 32, he shall be great. He's great. Hey, folks, don't forget that. Jesus is great. You want to hang around with somebody that's important? Hang around with Jesus. You want to be able to drop a name and impress people? Drop this name. It's a great name. And he goes on to say this. He shall be great and shall be called, here's another name, the Son of the Highest. You know what, folks? Listen to me. Jesus truly was the Son of God. And we're talking about names here this morning. We go on down, if you'll continue to look, in verse number 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So what are we going to name this baby? Well, Isaiah said, call him Wonderful, and call him Counselor, and call him the Mighty God, and call him the Everlasting Father, and call him the Prince of Peace. And an angel came down and said, be sure and call him Jesus, and tell the world he's great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and make sure that they understand that he's the Son of God. And then in Matthew chapter 1, we have another angel, and he appears to Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, here we go again, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Remember, Jesus means Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. Notice it goes on. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Once again, God wants us to understand and always protect the doctrine of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was with us, God was with us. You know, I don't know how long of a name some of you have. I've met people that have two middle names. I've met people that have three middle names. I've met one young man that had two middle names and two last names. You say, who was born in that manger that day? Wonderful was born. Counselor was born, and the Mighty God was born, and the Everlasting Father was born, and the Prince of Peace was born, and Jesus was born, the Savior was born, the Son of the Highest was born, the Son of God was born, Jesus again, and Emmanuel, God with us. There's something about that name. There's something about that name. I want to bring us to where we're going now with this, and that's to remind everybody here, listen to me. The name of Jesus is important because it and it alone is essential in the matter of salvation. Salvation. You better know this name. You better learn this name. Why is it that it seems like the world's working so hard to try to remove the name of Jesus in connection of it with this matter of celebrating Christmas? Why is it that anyone in their right mind in this enlightened age, in this God used to be God-fearing country, why would anybody put on a sign, XMAS, and cross out the name of Jesus Christ? What's really behind all this? Well, preacher, it's just easier to spell it. It's faster to write it. It's blasphemy to cross out and X out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that some stores have pressured some of their employees and told them, you can't say Merry Christmas, you can say Happy Holidays, but not Merry Christmas? What's really behind all of this? Because there is only one name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the devil hates that name. He hates that name. And so he's tried to work hard to see that name is removed from the dialogue. I mean, young people are being told that they can't talk about Jesus in their public school. They can't bring their Bibles to the public school. They can't witness in their public school. They can't pass out tracts in their public school. And by the way, none of that is true, young people. You can pray in your public school, and you can pass out tracts in your public school, and you can talk about Jesus in your public school. And by the way, well, I'll be persecuted. Well, read about the first Christians in the book of Acts, and read all the way through the New Testament, and you're not the first one to be persecuted. You're not going to be the last one to be persecuted. The Bible tells us all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Go to your public school and live godly and talk about his name. I'm not going to let them shut me up about Jesus. I went over yesterday and drove over to Newcastle, Indiana, and Brother Frank Wood, Pastor Frank Wood over there at the church there, Whittier Lane Baptist Church, and I was bragging on you folks. I got up and was talking about the fact that we have ordered 1,000 Christmas tracts. And by the way, we're down to just a few back there. Thank you, church, for being so enthusiastic about this. We went and got 200 more and put them back there. So we're just finishing them out. There's a few more Christmas tracts back there. And I told them I didn't want our folks to forget. And I didn't want them to let the world forget and the community forget that there's something about Christmas other than Santa Claus. There's something about Christmas other than Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman. You know what it's really about? It's about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about that name. And I told them that I not only wanted them to pass out the tracts, but I wanted them to say his name. And I don't know what kind of reactions you have gotten. I've gotten feedback from some of you, but I'm going to tell you, I dare you to do it. I promise you it's true. Go to any public place and just say his name out loud. You know what you'll see? You'll see everybody stop what they're doing, and you'll see people turn around and stare. And sometimes people will look over and smile because they're glad that somebody said his name. But most people will look over with a scowl on their face as if to say, how dare you speak that name outside of a church house? What's wrong with America? Everyone used to talk about Jesus. I read a little, I wish I'd have wrote the verse down, but I read about when Herod heard about Jesus, and it talks about him being curious, wanting to meet Jesus, and it says something along this line, Herod, and then there's parentheses there. It says, for his name was shed abroad. Just in parentheses there. For his name was, I think I'm quoting that right, his name was shed abroad. And I thought to myself, are we doing that? You know, here Herod, a governor, a pagan governor, he had heard the name of Jesus. You know why? Because people were talking about Jesus. Now, why is it the devil wants us to quiet down about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the name of Jesus is essential in this matter of salvation. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, I like this, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S, Jesus. I'm not sure every time we write it, we shouldn't just use all capital letters there. That's what the Bible does. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Persecution came to those Christians in the first four chapters of the book of Acts. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's why they don't want you talking about him. Why did it grieve their hearts? Because anytime somebody starts talking about Jesus, guess what? Somebody's going to hear and somebody's going to be dealt with, and the Holy Spirit's going to start doing some things and people's going to start being saved. You take me to a church that makes a lot about Jesus, much about Jesus, and I'll show you a church where people are getting saved on a regular basis. And that's what happened here, and it came to pass on the morrow. By the way, they laid hands on them. They threw them in the hold. They threw them in a temporary holding cell, a prison. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. I think it's amusing in this story that these men who are trying to keep the name of Jesus quiet, that God goes ahead and lists their names. And I like the fact that their names is laid in the same story with Jesus' name. And let me ask you, which name has endured? Which name has transformed the world? It wasn't Caiaphas, it wasn't John, it wasn't Alexander. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, I love this next part, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, of what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. By the way, I like this, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Just hanging around Jesus will change you. Hanging around Jesus will make you a different person. It'll make you want to talk about Jesus. And when you start talking about Jesus, people get saved and people get mad. People get saved and people get mad. There's something about that name. I say this, boy, it makes people either want to pucker or punch you. I mean, one of the two things is going to happen. There's something about that name. It divides. You know what? People either believe or they don't believe. They accept or they reject. There's something about that name. You know what? This whole thing about Christmas and then the attempt to try to eliminate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. There is no other name given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Look right up here. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Have you ever received, this is not just words we say, listen, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time when you've fallen under Holy Spirit conviction of your sin, understanding that, you know, there's no good in any of us, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you know what, left to our own demise, getting what we truly deserve? The Bible says that we all ought to be in that lake of fire. We all ought to be in a devil's hell. It's not just a rich man, it's all of us. But you know what, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever. You've got to believe in him. You've got to trust in him. You've got to turn to this name. You know what? There's no other name given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. You know what? I read something interesting just the other day. I'm reading a book. It's kind of based in historical fact, and it began to talk about the idea of the American Indians and the different things that they worshiped. And one of the ideas, and by the way, you'll hear this from time to time, that's floated, this whole idea that, well, yeah, they worship the sun, or perhaps they worship the stars, or they worship this god, or this little g god, or this entity, and they'll float this idea, well, you know what, maybe we're all just worshiping the same one, we're just getting there by different paths. And by the way, the Bible says that neither is there any other name given amongst heaven whereby we must be saved. Let me just kind of blow that apart. You'll go through Jesus Christ or you won't go at all. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door. He said, if any man come unto me, you know what? You can listen. He's the door. He's the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, those that are trusting in Allah, no, you got to come through Jesus. Now listen to me, folks, I want to make that plain. It's got to be through Jesus. It's got to be through his name. Here's the question again. Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? There's something powerful about that name. I have shared this story before, and I'm going to close the message with it. But I think one of the great soul winning experiences that I was allowed to have in my life occurred just over here, 5 miles north of 5 miles north of Jacksonville, Indiana, where me and my wife have been pleased to call home now since way back in 1994 when we bought the property. Bought that property, 8.5 acres with a little fix-it-up house on it, and right away we met the next-door neighbors, sweet people, good people, by the name of Robert and Elizabeth Wright. And you know what? I couldn't ask for better neighbors. An older couple. All our girls were pretty small then, pretty young. Mr. Wright had just recently had a mild stroke, and it had affected him a little bit. He could still get around. He could still converse with you, but you could tell it affected him some. Mrs. Wright was a joy. And we kind of fell in love with them and adopted them. And every time, just most every time, Cheryl would make cookies or brownies or something, the three little Ross girls would be assigned the task of taking a plate of these and going down our driveway to the gravel road and down the gravel road to the driveway of the Wrights and up their winding gravel driveway to their front door and knock on the door until Mrs. Wright came to the door and make sure that we shared some cookies with them. One of the funniest things was we used to have a mailboxes. Our mailboxes now are right in front of our property, but at one time they were over on the slab road there. All three mailboxes were on the slab road, and Mr. Wright would look forward to the mail coming. And by the way, for retired people, I found out this. The mail coming is a big event every single day of their life. Just ask me. Ask Lloyd and Bev Whittington, all right? I mean, the mail coming is important. So he'd be watching, and the mailman would come, and then he'd walk down his lane, and he'd go across the gravel road past our house, down to the slab road, across the slab road, get his mail. And the girls got worried about him because he was old. And they were afraid he was going to get down there on the slab. And I'm talking about our girls are only this tall, okay? But they're worried about him. And, Dad, can we go make sure Mr. Wright gets to the mailbox okay? And I'd say, go. And he got to the point where he knew they were going to do this, that they were out playing. So he'd start slowing down as he went past our gravel road, you know, and kind of look down the lane. And here comes one, two, depends on how many's out there playing, or all three of the girls. And they'd run down there, and they'd get his hands on both sides. And these three little girls are going to get Mr. Wright to the mailbox and back, all right, without getting hit by a car. And so they would cross the road with him, get his mail, get our mail, come back, and then they'd wave bye to him and take off. And Mrs. Wright, I got to talk to her about Jesus, talked to her about salvation. We were sitting across the fence. I was just over on the property line out in the pasture there, and I got to talking across the fence to her. Hey, wasn't it a good day in America when you used to take some time to stop and talk across the fence to the neighbor? Amen. And so we'd sit over there and talk, and I asked her one day, she was out there by herself, and I said, have you ever received Jesus? I said, you folks are such good people. We couldn't ask for better neighbors. But I said, you know, being good don't get you to heaven. Have you ever received Jesus as your Savior? And she gave me the sweetest testimony of her faith in Jesus Christ when she got saved. And I said, let me ask you about Bob. Has he ever been saved? And she hung her head and she said, preacher, I really don't know, and I worry about it. I don't think so. Would you pray for him? And so I began to, after that point, seek opportunity to talk to him when I could, and never really had a good chance to go through the plan of salvation with him. But soon Mrs. Wright was taken to the hospital, just something that had happened. She was going to have to stay for several days and then be back home. And she called me from the hospital and said, Jerry, would you go over and check on Bob? He's by himself, and I think I'm sure he's all right. But you know how wives worry about their husbands? And so I said, I'll go over and check. And so I walked down the driveway and down the gravel road and up the lane and knocked on the kitchen door, and he came to the door, and you could tell he was lonely. He's not used to being by himself. He missed his wife, so he wanted me to come in. He set me down at the table. We started talking, and he said, I want to show you something. He jumped up, and he took off in the back bedroom. He was gone for a while, and he finally came back out, and he had a big family Bible. And he came over and laid that family Bible on the kitchen table, and he said, when I retired, he worked somewhere in Indianapolis, and I'm not sure where that was. I can't remember now, but he worked somewhere for years in Indianapolis. When he retired, they gave him a family Bible. Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And he wanted me to show that it was inscribed by the company and with thankfulness had his name printed in it. Real nice family. And I made a big deal. It was a beautiful Bible. And I said, would you mind sitting down? I said, could I read some of the Bible to you? And he kind of looked at me and said, sure. And you know where I decided to turn? I thought Romans chapter 3 might be a good place to start, you know. I think actually I started in the book of John chapter number 3, and I read that conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Then I went over to Romans chapter 3, and I began to talk about this matter of sin. I went through the plan of salvation, and you could tell the Lord was working. And there's nothing like witnessing to someone and being in the same room and understanding that they're is a great working of the Holy Spirit of God in that moment, in that time. And I mean, you can feel the presence of God. I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm just telling you, when God is trying to save someone, I'm going to tell you what, God's full attention and his full working is on that situation. And I sat there and went through the plan of salvation. I looked at him and I said, have you ever been saved? And he shook his head, no. And I said, would you like to call upon Jesus? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, he understood he was a sinner. He understood what that meant according to the Bible. He understood what Jesus had done for him. I said, would you like to call on Jesus and ask him to save you? And you know what he did? He looked at me and he went like this. And then he did something that was really different, really unusual. He bowed his head and he tried to say the name of Jesus. He started to open his prayer by saying Jesus. And something about the stroke that he had, some certain words he had a hard time saying, hard time pronouncing. And so he bowed his head and he tried to say the name of Jesus. And he went, G, 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 gee, just like that. And I've never been, I wanted to help him. I wanted to do something. And I mean, folks, this didn't go on just for 5 seconds or 10 seconds. By the way, that's a long time if you're sitting there. He struggled, I'll bet you, for 25, 30 seconds. And finally, he stopped, gathered himself, and he said, Jesus, like that. And as soon as he said that, he opened his eyes and looked at me. And I looked at him. Tears began to flow down both our faces. And I said, are you saved? And he said, I'm saved. Amen. Say, wait a minute, preacher. What about all those other words? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sometimes I think we're so worried about people saying the right words in the right order that we forget that salvation's not in a prayer, it's belief in the heart. And you know what? If you can only pray one word, pray that word. If you can only pray one name, pray that name. Now do it knowing you're a sinner, and doing knowing and understand the penalty of sin, and do it knowing that Jesus was the Son of God and he died for you and was buried and rose again, and do it knowing that he's there to save you, but do it. Salvation's not hard. It's not difficult. I wasn't going to tell you this, but I guess I am, then we'll close. But I walk in the office this morning. This, you know, it's been a good week. I could tell you great stories this week. I could tell you tough stories this week. It's been one of those roller coaster weeks, okay? So I walk in this morning. I'm worried about the weather. I'm worried about the buses. I'm trying to make the right decision. Talking to Brother Chad on the phone. We just want to do things right. Praying for the cantata. I know all that's gone into that. And I look over. I just get in my office finally. And by the way, thank you the men that showed up early and spread salt. I mean, hand by hand, we had men out here spreading salt all over the parking lot. And by the way, thank you men for doing that. You know, we don't have leprechauns. We don't have elms. Men of Blessed Old Baptist Church, are you listening to me, you know? Okay, do you want your pastor to do it every Sunday morning? I mean, some of you always look, saying you're looking for something to do on a morning like this. Wouldn't it kind of be obvious there's something to do? But I sat down in my office, and there's a message on my phone. And so I pick it up. I hit intercom. I push a series of buttons, and then it tells me to do the other series of buttons, and I do the other series of buttons, and finally it tells me what my message is. And folks, listen to me. A woman comes on, and she's got my attention right away because she says this. She says, I want you to know, first of all, that I'm not just any ordinary person. She has my attention. This is not just any ordinary person. I am a woman ordained of God. And I have a message from God to you, and you better take heed to it. And she goes on for 2 minutes. I timed it. 2 minutes and 7 seconds. Telling me that I'm of the Antichrist, that I'm preaching a false way to heaven, that all Baptists are going to burn in hell one of these days, that she's from the Church of Christ, and if I don't come down and join the Church of Christ and stop playing a piano in my auditorium, I'm going to burn in hell forever. And she goes on for 2 minutes and 7 seconds. I'm a wolf in sheep clothing. I mean, I'm despicable in the eyes of God, worthless in his sight. I mean, you talk about a great way to start a Sunday morning. I'm just listening to this going, I do not believe this. Thinking to myself, what in the world? Why is there so much animosity against a church and against a pastor that just every Sunday morning stands up and says the same thing? If you'll trust Jesus. She wanted a list in her phone message, all of the works that you have to perform. Let me tell you something. Somebody's of the devil, but it's not the man preaching behind this pulpit. Aren't you glad that you found a place where somebody says, there's a name. It's wonderful. It's Counselor. It's Mighty God. It's Everlasting Father. It's Prince of Peace. It's Savior. It's Son of the Highest. It's Son of God.
It's Jesus. It's Savior. It's Emmanuel. And if you'll trust in Him and Him alone for salvation, you'll get there. And you know what? You can leave all the messages you want to on my phone. I'm not getting off of this song. I'm not getting off of this story. Same stanza, same verse every Sunday. It's all about Him. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Let's bow our heads together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son. Jesus, thank You for wanting to come. For declaring the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, thank You for loving each and every one of us. All over this room, people could stand and testify at how You sought them out and loved them. Of all the different ways You worked to get the gospel to the different folks that are here. And then that defining moment through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and that opportunity to trust Christ. And Lord, thank You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the great plan of salvation that was hatched in the mind and heart of a mighty, loving God. For mercy, thank You for mercy. For grace, unmerited favor, thank You for that. And sending Your Son. None of us deserve heaven, deserve to be there. Lord, thank You that You sent Jesus. Well, thank You for the cantata that lifted up Jesus. Thank You for the songs, the carols that we sang this morning that lifted up Jesus. Thank You for the children's church that's going on right now where they're hearing about Jesus. Thank You for primary church where they're hearing about Jesus. And Lord, if we're going to be accused of something, may we be accused of pointing people to Jesus and Him alone for salvation. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's never received You as personal Savior, that today would be the day that they'd be saved, Lord. Lord, perhaps others, Christians, would just like to come and spend some time at an altar lifting up that name, being thankful for that name. Lord, whatever You do in our hearts, whatever You tell us to do, may we be obedient. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.